chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. In this reading, the church hears Jesus' words on the night before his death, his prayer for his disciples and for all who would believe in him through their words. The gospel according to John chapter 17. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those you gave me, because they are yours. All are mine, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you had given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so they do not have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in the truth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you've turned the news on at all the last couple of weeks, you may have walked away horrified. I mean, think about it. The last few nights, we have had a front row seat to rockets flying out of the Gaza Strip or out of West Bank and into Israel. And then we've seen tanks dug in Israel, shooting back into Gaza and into the West Bank. We're seeing buildings being toppled, and we hear the body count, including children. And if that's not bad enough, then we see the horror on the streets as Palestinians and Jews clash in their own communities as civil war is unraveling. And people ask, "God, where are you?" Those pictures pushed off the pictures that we had been seeing from India, where there have been so many deaths from COVID that they're running out of firewood for the cremations. One of the pictures that's burned in my mind is a dusty road with several trees. And underneath each tree are people laying on mats. And hung from the limbs of the trees are IV bags, and a line running down to the arms of those who are sick. Lord, where are you? What's going on? Closer to home, the news isn't much better this week. Someone who had been accused of murder was instead convicted of manslaughter, and there are still lives that have been devastated in the rippling of the crime. Also on the news, the fact that the murder trial that was supposed to start for a man accused of killing four people is being pushed back a little bit further, and the pain continues. And people may ask, "Lord, where are you?" We could go on, because there's more. And it is possible to push all of that at an arm's length away from us. After all, it's just pictures on a screen. It's just video. It's just well-written words of a news story. And yet, if we let it sink in what is happening to other human beings, we could also begin to ask the question, God, where are you? What are you up to? And the truth is, you know, it's not all at an arm's length. 41 years ago, I graduated from Garrison High School in this season. We gathered together in the Roy Shea Gymnasium, walked across the stage, got our diplomas without a clue that just a few weeks later we would gather again in that gymnasium to an even larger crowd. His name was Turtle. We were on the wrestling team together. I was a sprite 112-pounder. He wrestled 167. If we were ever on the mat against one another, it wasn't much of a match. The might was overpowered by the mountain quickly. We hung out together. If we were on the road for a meet somewhere that got us back to Garrison late, I often stayed overnight at his place. The folks didn't want me to drive the 16 miles home on gravel. He came out to the farm several times, including getting blizzarded in for a long stay. I think we annoyed each other a lot in that stay. After graduation, Turtle and three other buddies headed out to Montana. He was headed for the Navy and boot camp. It was one last hurrah before they left. They had gone to a rodeo. Leaving, they were on a gravel road. The driver fell asleep. A passenger woke up, grabbed the steering wheel because the car was headed for a ditch. They overcorrected. They rolled. Turtle was dead. We gathered together several weeks after graduation to say goodbye. I was a camp counselor at Camp of the Cross when the news came from my mother, and I can still remember the spot I stood in the old dining hall looking out across the lake. God, where are you? I'm certain that you've got stories to tell as well. Stories of the death of a parent or a child, or a spouse. A miscarriage. Ugly legal battles in a family. I would guess that your mind is already dancing through the valley of the shadow of death, which you have most certainly walked. And maybe in the midst of that walk, there were questions like, God, where are you? Lord, what are you doing? What's going on here? This text before us today from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John is a text which allows us to overhear an intimate conversation between God the Son and God the Father. It is Jesus' prayer to God. Now you remember a couple of weeks ago I told you that in chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John, Jesus is gathering just hours before his arrest with his disciples in the upper room, and he is preparing them for what is to come. When he is done, he enters into this time of prayer. And the prayer is not about him. The prayer is all about his followers. So he prays that God would be with his disciples in all that is to come. Now here's the real crazy thing. If we continued reading beyond where Bob stopped this morning, comes these verses, verses 20 and the beginning of 21. Jesus goes on to say, I'm not asking only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. In other words, Jesus is not just praying for the disciples who are with them that night. He is praying for the ripples that will happen because of them. As they speak the good news of Jesus Christ in years to come, for generations and generations and generations, people will hear about Jesus' death and resurrection. And long before we were ever born, Jesus was praying for us as well, that we would be safe, that God would be with us, that we would be cared for at all times, even in the midst of the deepest depths of questions and wonderment and pain that we might have, that God would be with us to care for us. This text is a gift because we've been allowed to eavesdrop on this prayer. Hearing this intimate conversation between God the Father and God the Son. May this overhearing be a gift for us that sustains us in times of great joy, knowing that God is with us, that sustains us in the days that are mundane, that feel like they just stretch from one into the next. May it sustain us in the days when darkness comes into our lives and we just wonder where God is. Where's God? God's right with us because Jesus prayed that it would be so. Amen.